Welcome to this podcast about the Ankal Saltchuks and Phipps Peninsula in Alaska. The article is produced by Coastview, written by Dr. Carl Schock, and read by Inara in AI-generated voice. Scroll down to see pictures, maps, and dozens of embedded links to additional information. Please consider subscribing to enjoy more articles and podcasts at coastview.org. The Ankal Saltchuks form a network of tidal lagoons in a complex estuary about 1.2 miles across, at the northwestern tip of the Phipps Peninsula, at the entrance to Yakutat Bay and along Monte Bay's west shore, about 215 miles southeast of Cordova and 3.6 miles west-southwest of Yakutat, Alaska. A saltchuk is a brackish lake connected to the sea by a tidal channel. The term comes from Chinook jargon combining salt with the Nutchinut word for water. The lagoons, dotted with small islands and rocks, are separated from the Pacific Ocean by a narrow barrier beach. The upper lagoon, Russian Lake, is fed by Tawa Creek, which drains rocky Aka and Summit Lakes. Summit Lake, located east of a former U.S. Coast Guard Loranay station, was once navigable at high tide. However, post-glacial rebound has silted its upper reaches and choked the lake with vegetation. Deglaciation of Yakutat Bay was complete before 1791, and since then the peninsula has undergone continual isostatic rebound, sea level changes, and redistribution of glacial sediments. Captain Alessandro Malaspina named the estuary Estero del Ankal in 1791 after a Tlingit chief. Russian fur traders later adopted Yakutat or Yakudat in 1823 for the mouth of Ankal Creek, which drains the Saltchuks into Monte Bay. La Perouse named Monte Bay Baie de Monti in 1786 after one of his officers. The Phipps Peninsula, about 3.5 miles long, lies between the Gulf of Alaska and Monte Bay. Captain George Dixon named it Cape Phipps in 1787 for explorer Constantine John Phipps, renowned for his 1773 voyage to Spitsbergen in the Arctic Ocean. Yakutat Bay spans 18 miles, with an embayment extending 35 miles northeast to Disenchantment Bay. Yakutat's history predates European contact. Eyak-speaking peoples likely migrated southeast from the mouth of the Copper River, while a northwestward migration of Tlingit from southeast Alaska eventually assimilated the Eyak. Yakutat was one of several Tlingit and mixed Tlingit-Eyak settlements. The others now depopulated or abandoned. The Phipps Peninsula was used first by the Tlingit, then by Russians, maritime fur traders, the U.S. military, and the Coast Guard. In the early 1790s, Alexander Andreevich Baranov of the Shelikov-Golikov Company launched expeditions east from Prince William Sound in search of new sea otter hunting grounds. His first encounter with the Yakutat Tlingit occurred in 1792, when a party of 30 Russians and two Bidarkas and a fleet of 150 vessels manned by 300 Aleutic hunters camped on Hinchinbrook Island near future Nuchak was ambushed by Yakutat Tlingit from Yakutat Bay, seeking revenge for prior injuries inflicted by the Chugach. In 1793, Baranov dispatched James G. Shields and four British sailors to escort 170 Bidarkas into Yakutat Bay in search of sea otter breeding grounds. The following year, he purchased land from the Yakutat Tlingit to establish a settlement, but the plan was scrapped after the Tlingit turned hostile to an advance party. In 1796, 192 Russians landed and built a fort called New Russia on the Ankal Saltchuks. The fort comprised two log buildings, a palisade, and a blockhouse. By 1805, the settlement had expanded to 12 buildings and a small shipyard that built two boats. Tensions persisted, and later that year, the Tlingit attacked New Russia, burning it and killing nearly all its occupants, save a few women and children. Soon after, a fleet of 300 Bidarkas was lost in a storm in the Gulf of Alaska, further diminishing Russian interest. The Yakutat site was never reoccupied, possibly because the Russian-American company established its headquarters at Sitka. After the attack, the area received only sporadic visits. By the 1870s, American traders found nothing of the old fort. Interest in the region waned, leaving the site largely forgotten. The U.S. military interest in Yakutat Bay began in 1929 with the Yakutat Bay Naval Reservation. In 1940, the Department of War acquired 46,083 acres, and the Army Corps of Engineers began constructing the Yakutat Landing Field at the base of the Phipps Peninsula, completed in 1943. A 155-millimeter battery was installed at Point Carew on the peninsula's northern tip to defend the airfield. In 1945, the airfield was declared surplus and transferred to the Civil Aeronautics Administration in 1947. In 1952, a double master Loran A station was built between Summit Lake and the beach at the base of the Phipps Peninsula. The isolated duty station was staffed by electronics technicians, machinist mates, a cook, a bosun's mate, seamen, a yeoman, and a commission officer on one-year assignments. Two connected steel Quonset huts about 300 feet inland housed the station. The northwest hut held Loran A electronics and generators. The southeast hut housed the dining area, kitchen, and living quarters. In 1960, the Air Force acquired land from the Forest Service and the Alaska Division of Lands to construct the Ocean Cape Radio Relay Station. At Ocean Cape, the peninsula's westernmost point, the facility included buildings, storage tanks, pipelines, a bridge, roads, utilities, and four 60-foot parabolic antennas. It relayed communications between White Alice stations at Cape Yakutega, 98 miles northwest, and Hoonah, 186 miles southeast, and was part of the Alpha Route of the rearward communication system along southeast Alaska's coast to Duncan Canal on Kupriana Island, where signals transferred to a subsea cable. Between 1974 and 1976, the facility was leased to America Alaska Communications, Inc., and later idled when satellite communications rendered White Alice obsolete. The Loran A station operated until 1979, when it was phased out. Both facilities were razed. The Army Corps and the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation now manage monitoring and remediation efforts. Thank you for listening. Read the article below for more information, including dozens of links to source material and references. Please subscribe to learn more about the West Coast of North America at coastview.org.